We're talking with Kathleen Edwards here on the show. Welcome to the show, Kathleen.
Thanks for having me, Jeff.
Well, we're preparing sort of our best of 2002, and by far, I definitely had to invite you amongst all people because Failer is definitely one of my favorites of 2002. I just got to say that right off the bat.
Well, that's so nice. Thank you.
How has the year been for you? It must have been sort of an exciting year.
Actually, it's been an incredible 2 years, really. I mean, I made Failer I started to make it almost 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me about 6 months to make it. And since then, some crazy things have happened. And this last week has been even the craziest of all weeks. And it's just going to get better.
There sounds like a story in there.
Well, I just found out this week that I'm doing David Letterman.
And how cool is that? When are you doing that?
I'm doing that. It's going to be on January 17th, Friday night.
Wow.
Friday the 17th. And I just found out I'm doing a show with Ryan Adams, who's I'm one of his biggest fans. I was a big Whiskey Town fan, so that's exciting for me. And, just a bunch of crazy American media is happening, Rolling Stone magazine, and anyway, so I'm feeling a little overwhelmed this week.
So they're starting to pick up on it down south?
Yeah.
Is the record just newly out in the States?
It's actually not even out yet. It's coming out January the 14th.
And so they're picking up on you already?
Mm-hmm, and I'm getting radio play already in the U.S. on their AAA format radio stations, so that's great. It's kind of like it's like a really cool alternative to adult contemporary radio in the U.S., so it's great.
Well, I know in Canada, us media weasels are starting to put out our top 10 of the year, and it seems to me that you're on the top of at least half of them. does that affect you at all, seeing stuff like that? Does that mean anything to you?
It's a huge compliment, because I know that the people making those lists listen to a lot of music over a period of a year, so to be kind of selected out of that is really, really nice. I know Stu Reed, and I don't know if you know Stu. But
I sure do. He's the one that turned me on to you, as well as many people. As many people that listen to this show knows.
Well, I'm almost ready to start giving him a commission or something, because he's done so much for me in Winnipeg alone. So it's been really nice.
He's unbelievable. Yeah. So the press has been kind to you in Canada over the year.
Yeah, I mean the press has been great. It's been a little tough. Sort of breaking in Canada. I've had a lot of great sort of local press and college radio, and the CBC have been incredibly good to me. And so we'll just see what happens. You know, my record's been out for quite a few months, and I've only toured Western Canada once, so hopefully I'll come back through in the new year.
Has it been hard to translate that critical acclaim into actual sales and people in seats, though?
Yeah, it has.
That's sort of two different ball games.
Yeah. Industry buzz doesn't always translate to the general public.
Yeah.
And so I know that the industry and people in the media have been incredibly supportive, but sometimes that just doesn't connect with audiences. Just for no reason other than it just doesn't sometimes. It could be that I'm not playing a show at the right time of year and people aren't coming out to see it or what have you. But I know that the people who have supported me by coming out to shows have been amazing. So there's no shortage of great people, and I'm really lucky to be doing as much as I'm doing at this point, you know.
Are you happy with where you're at this point? Did you expect things to happen any faster or slower than they have been?
Things are going way too fast. In fact, I recorded Failer. The original idea of that record was to be a demo, to get some arts funding or some recording funding, and it just sort of went from there. So where I'm sitting right now is a place that I sort of considered to be a bit of a pipe dream, you know? I wasn't really expecting what's happened.
Did you have any goals for the record, though? Or have you met those, would you say?
Oh, my goal was what I wanted to do was to maybe kind of make a record that was entirely what I ended up making. And so I'm really proud of the fact that I made a record exactly the way, I guess, in my head when I started out, I made the record that I had in my head. But really, like, I thought, you know, it'd be great to have someone sort of as a manager or someone as an agent to kind of help me kind of not just be an Ottawa local act anymore. And mm-hmm. that was really my main objective, other than making a record that I felt really good about. And so I've kind of gone way beyond that.
Yeah. You made it on your own. Did that make it harder, do you think, to do everything on your own, or was the pressure off not having anybody to watching over your shoulder?
Right. Looking back, like, I definitely feel that suddenly kind of wish that when I go back to doing my next record that I would be in the same place, just out of not having people look over my shoulder and wondering how I'm doing. But I know that I can control that, and when I go and do my next record that I'm going to go into it with the same mindset. But I think also that when I was making the record, I went through a really tough time sort of during and after, because I was really living day to day. I didn't have any work. I didn't have any way of making money. And I was spending money, really, to make the record. So I was in a really bad place for about 8 months during and after the record, because I really had no idea if what I was doing was actually going to kind of come back in terms of knowing that I would get back on my feet again,
right,
financially and emotionally and all sorts of ways, you know?
Is that sort of where the title came from, maybe, then?
That's exactly where the title came from, yeah.
Did a lot of the songs come out of that time, or were they sort of written before that?
I had a few songs under my belt already, but they weren't more than 6 months old when I went and recorded the record. And the majority, I would say 70% of them, actually no, about 80% of the, well, I guess 8 out of 10 songs were written before I went to the studio, and then two of them sort of came to be in the studio. Yeah.
When the album got picked up on a record company, not much really changed, did it? They didn't ask you to change anything, really?
No, they didn't. And I'm also working, I'm on a label called Maple Music, mm-hmm. which is a subsidiary of Universal. And they started out as a website that was really just meant to sell Canadian music online. And I think what's really cool about them is not only did they not ask me to change anything, but they were on board from day one, I think, in that I was the kind of act that almost was exactly what they were about, which is grassroots and organic stuff that's not going to be pop radio music. And I think in some ways I really found the best home for me, because they get what I do, and it's not about re-recording a song or changing, you know, lyrics, or, you know, they were happy with what I gave them, and really I wasn't going to change anything, so it was kind of like a perfect union.
So you're not making music to appeal to the masses. Who are you making it for?
I'm making it for me. I definitely can look back on making the record about a year ago, like in the last, you know, I made it over a period of some time, and I remember I was pretty private in making it, in that I didn't have a lot of people coming in to listen to the record other than the people who were playing on the record. And I just know that from song to song I was doing, and I was making the kind of music that in my head was the kind of music I wanted to hear.
Mm-hmm.
So arrangements and lyrics and everything, they were genuinely just exactly what I wanted. And so I think that's who I'm making music for. And it's kind of daunting to me that other people really like it as much as I'm proud of it, you know?
So it wouldn't so much matter if lots of people liked it? I mean, sure, it helps, but...
It sure helps.
Ultimately, you're the judge of what's good and what's not?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, not to sound like I know it all, because obviously I've had feedback, and feedback makes me feel confident about what I'm doing and sort of reinforces in within myself that I'm... that what I'm doing isn't so far-fetched or isn't bad, or, you know, I feel good about what I'm doing, and I hold a certain amount of confidence now within that because of the feedback I've had. But ultimately, I think I've always known that this is what I was going to do, and so I think I'm my own worst critic, and I still kind of hold that as, if I pass my own grade, then I'm doing okay.
Yeah. So tell me a bit about the writing for the record. How do you write your songs? Where do they come from?
A lot of the songs come from personal experiences, whether they be observation or something that's actually happened to me, or the idea of something that happened to me and kind of elaborated on that in a fictitious kind of way. The songs were mostly written after I moved into a rural area. I was living in Ottawa, and I moved north of Ottawa into sort of this Quebec countryside in the Gatineau Hills, and all of a sudden there were no distractions. I didn't have a TV and didn't have somewhere I could just, you know, walk down the street and go to see friends or anything like that. So suddenly all my distractions were gone, and I think just the idea that I could just sit down and focus on stuff that had been in my head and complete the thought was sort of where they came from. So the process of writing for me is definitely, I sit down and write a song, and if I get distracted halfway through, I generally probably don't finish it, whereas if I sit down and complete it in one go, then it's something that I keep and something that's finished.
Right. Yeah. I want to put you on a little spot here. I want to play a song from the record. Can you tell me something about one of the songs, maybe?
It depends which song.
Well, that's up to you. That's what I'm saying.
we could do one more song the radio won't like.
All right.
And that one was actually the last song that got recorded for the record. Actually, it was done at a different studio. It was done sort of after Failure had been recorded. And I was in the process of sort of going through a bunch of showcases for labels and a bunch of different industry people, mostly out of Toronto. And a lot of the conversations I had with people, and I really appreciated the honesty, but a lot of it came down to the fact that people were reluctant to get on board because they didn't feel that any of the songs on my record were radio singles, and it wasn't so much about radio as it was about the people who felt that radio was the only way to see something through, and it was sort of the only value that I held was whether or not I had a radio single. So that's where One More Song the Radio Won't Like comes from.
So it's kind of ironic that now we're going to go and play the song, isn't it?
It's sort of been funny how it tends to be a radio DJ's first pick, just based out of the title.
Well, let's hear it. Here's one more song the radio won't like. This is Kathleen Edwards on 101.5.
No one knew.
So we're back with Kathleen Edwards. We're talking about the best of 2002, and I should certainly give you a chance. What are your favorite albums of 2002?
Oh, my God. Well, Richard Buckner, I'm a big fan of, mm-hmm. and I actually toured with him for a little while, and he has an amazing album called Impasse Out. And you probably won't find it at major record stores. You'll probably find it at indies.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually used to live in Edmonton. He lives in Austin now. Another favorite of mine is a guy named Peter Brintnell, who's from the UK, and he had an amazing record about 2 years ago out called Normal for Bridgewater, and he was on Ryko Disc, and now he's on Back Porch Records, and you can order that online. I bought it at a record store in the U.S., and he has I forget what the album's called. I want to say Out of Time, but I know that's a Jim Cuddy title, but it's something like that, and he's got great alt country, British style alt country sound, and one of my favorite musicians, this guy Eric Haywood, who's a mandolin and pedal steel player, he plays on that record, and I hope that he's going to come do some shows with me in the near future. What else? I can't deny that I love Eminem. I think Eminem is a brilliant.
I can't say that I ever would have suspected that.
Yeah, I think he's brilliant, and I can't. It's a bit like bit of a
guilty pleasure.
Yeah, it's a guilty pleasure. And I just think he's excellent. I think Dr. Dre is excellent. So I think that he really made an incredible album with Eminem. And I love Elvis, too, which is funny because a lot of people say that Eminem is modern-day Elvis. But I think Elvis is amazing. I've been listening to a lot of his stuff. And what record have I been listening to a lot? Amy Mann, Lost in Space.
Mm-hmm.
That is definitely one of my favorite records of the year.
Who are some of your influences? Who shaped the Kathleen Edwards sound, would you say?
I would say it's a combination of a lot of people. Whiskey Town was a really big band to me. I remember hearing them for the first time and not knowing who they were. I was in a coffee shop and I heard their songs come on, and I was like, I had that butterflies in my stomach when I listened to them for the first time. And then I went and bought an album called Stranger's Almanac, which is probably their best album, and it's still my favorite record of all time. And I was a big Ani DeFranco fan when I was in high school. I liked everything up to most of her solo stuff up until, I would say, I guess it would be about 97, 98. She did the last record I really liked was Dilate.
Mm-hmm.
Everything up to there. Who else was an influence? I really am a Neil Young and Crazy Horse fan.
Aren't we all, really?
I think we all are. How can you not be?
I would have thought you'd be influenced by a lot of the classic country, Hank and Patsy Cline, maybe a little bit in there. Maybe just, you know, something I'm reading into it. But did you ever listen to that classic stuff?
My dad did. My dad listened to tons of traditional country because he was born and raised in Saskatchewan, and so a lot of his upbringing was traditional country music, like old-time country. And I actually ended up doing a tour with a guy named Don Williams.
Yes.
Who's one of the classic old-timers. And it's funny because the songs, in some ways, of old-time country are a bit cliché. And I felt that way until I listened to Johnny Cash. And then I really kind of realized how much grit and really raw honesty and almost sarcasm and irony is in country music.
Yeah.
And I'm a huge Johnny Cash fan. I've been listening to there's this, I can't even remember her name now. It's terrible. I'm on Rounder Records now, and they have a huge amount of really great traditional bluegrass music in their catalog, and so
yeah.
I've been listening to a lot of stuff on there, and I've been listening to so much of it, like traditional kind of banjo-based. I love the Carter Family. That's a good one. That's a great... Some of the old Carter Family recordings are amazing. And, of course, the Carter Family are the parents of June Carter, who ended up marrying Johnny Cash. And, yeah, stuff like that. It's really great.
You mentioned the tour with Don Williams. You've done a bunch of different tours. You go from touring with Don Williams, you played with Danny Michel, you mm-hmm. played with Richard Buckner. These are all very different crowds. How do you work such different rooms?
Well, I think what I do is, if I were opening for Don Williams, I would tend to bring out the more countrified versions of my songs and my style. Whereas if I were with Danny Michel...
You probably didn't do any AC/DC covers on that tour.
I didn't play AC/DC covers on that tour, no. I actually played a John Prine cover, who actually is another person that I'm a huge fan of. I played a John Prine cover. But on Danny Michel's tour, I tended to do my songs with a bit more pop rock sensibility. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of hard. I was playing solo for most of these shows, and really I feel like the way that I want to play more often now is with a full band, because I love instrumentation on playing live. And so I think that's what I'm kind of most excited about in the new year, is that most of my touring is going to be with a full band.
And will that be mostly in the States then?
Mostly in the States. There's a rumor that I might be doing some West Coast dates in Canada, doing an opening act.
So have you started working on a new project yet?
I wish I could say yes. I mean, I'm ready to go in and record another record. I have enough material ready. But I'm pretty happy just to enjoy what's happening right now with having recorded Failure and the people who are kind of responding to it. And really, I haven't toured that extensively with a band, and so I guess what I'm really excited to do is go in and play as Kathleen Edwards, like with a full band and not mm-hmm. a solo singer-songwriter act. And
some headlining?
Yeah. It looks like I'll be doing some headlining in the States relatively soon, so that's really exciting for me.
Well, it'll be even more exciting if we get to see it up here.
Well, Winnipeg has definitely been probably the best city in Canada for me to play in. And I'm not just saying that.
I just heard you on a Calgary radio station. You said the same thing.
Did I?
No, I'm just kidding.
I actually wouldn't say that about Calgary.
Nobody would, I don't think.
Winnipeg, the West End Cultural Center, they have been so good to me. And I've actually only played there twice, but both times they've been the best shows on my tour in Canada. It's very funny. I don't know. I know why, and it's because people in Winnipeg are very organically sort of supportive of music, sort of all genres, and I really...
The West End brings
Winnipeg.
Out the best in people, so it's it's the right room. I hate to put you on the spot, but hanging out a little bit with you at the West End there, you mentioned a little EP that you were thinking of doing for fun.
Oh, yeah.
Should we talk about that?
No, it's okay. We can talk about that. I don't know if I'm going to do that.
It's such a great idea, though. Tell everybody.
I've cooled off a little bit about that.
I think it's wonderful. Tell everybody what you were talking about.
Well, some people won't get it, but I'll tell you. It's I had this idea to record an EP of five of the songs from Bryan Adams' Reckless album that came out, I guess, in about 84. And... sometime in the early 90s, I first listened to that record, like, you know, almost 6 or 7 years after it had already been out. And I listened to it about 2 years ago again, and I realized how great the songs were, regardless of the fact that they were sort of styled for 1984 and the fact that they're Bryan Adams, because really at the time he was, you know, he's gone quite an adult contemporary now, but he was a real kind of rock and roller, and if anything, he was kind of a roots rocker. And I actually talked to a few people, one of them being John Sutton, who's from Winnipeg, I believe, who plays in the Weaker Band.
Yeah.
And he was all excited about it. So I sort of informally solicited him as the bass player on the project. And then Luc Doucette, who plays in Veal and also is a solo singer-songwriter, who actually did a record in Winnipeg.
Yep.
He's expressed interest as being the guitar player on the project. And he says he knows Pat, and I can't remember his last name, but he was the original drummer on Bryan Adams' Reckless. So I think the idea was to do the EP hopefully sometime soon before I lose my nerve and get those guys to come and sort of work on it as a project, as a collective project.
Well, I think it's tremendous, and now I've got you on tape, so I'm going to hold you to it.
Yeah, well, we'll see. You know, I'd still love to do it. You know, I have to be honest with you. There's something about One Night Love Affair that I love. it's a guilty pleasure.
No kidding. Well, certainly not a guilty pleasure, but it's been a pleasure to talk to you, Kathleen. We're almost out of time, but thanks for being here, and thanks for the fabulous music in 2002.
Well, thanks for putting me on your list.
Well, it's been a real treat. And is there anything you'd like us to play as we take off here?
You know what? I think you should pick, because I picked the first one. And
well, I'm glad you said so. My absolute favorite song is Hockey Skates, and I first heard this song on the Men with Brooms soundtrack. And first of all, tell me a little bit about, you know, getting on that soundtrack and if it got a lot of people like me listening. But then perhaps tell me a little bit about the song, if you could.
Okay. I was unsigned, and Universal was kind of sniffing around, and I know that they had my CD, and they passed it on to the music supervisor of Men with Brooms, as well as Paul Gross, who starred in the movie. And I guess about 3 days later, they got a phone call back saying, "We'd love to put this song in the movie." And so that's sort of how it happened. It was sort of a coincidence, and it was absolutely last minute, I think. I don't know why it happened, but it did. And the song, I actually was, it's probably one of the first songs I wrote for Failure. It's kind of an old song, but a lot of guys in Ottawa would go out and play hockey on the local rink every Monday night or whatever, and I was never invited. And as much as I probably sucked at playing hockey, I was still bitter that I couldn't be part of the boys' club. And, you know, since then, they've invited me to come out, and I'm too much of a baby to go out and actually pretend like the whole time I was a really good player when I'm not. And I've since gotten hockey skates.
Well, it's a wonderful song, and I absolutely love the orchestration and everything that really, really adds a lot to this song. So, you know, definitely one of my favorites. So thank you for it. Kathleen Edwards, it's been a real treat to talk to you.
Thank you.
Here it is.
Thanks for having me on the station.
Well, it's a real pleasure. Here's Kathleen Edwards with Hockey Skates on 101.5.
To the same bar, and the same old face is saying hi, and I don't care. Going down in the same old bar tonight, you know, I don't even order anymore. I am so sick of consequence and the look on your face. I am tired of playing defense, and I don't even have hockey skates. Don't even have hockey skates. You can't meet me at 10:30, and I won't be there, I'll be gone. We can talk. excuse not to see past it. Do you wish that the lights were brighter in the city that you live? I am so sick of consequence and the look on your face. I am tired of playing defense and I don't even have hockey skates. Don't even have hockey skates. You can't meet me at 10:30. Well, I won't be there, I'll be gone. We can talk like same bar and the same old face, the same.